Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Yeah, just go ahead and sit on down. Make yourself comfortable. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Well, obviously, first give honor to Pastor. You know, getting these messages, I probably teach once every month. And it gives you a different, outlook on what it, just a small portion of what it takes to be a pastor. And, pastor did this with a job, full-time job, and getting these messages ready. Of course, he's a little bit more seasoned than I am, obviously. But, I tell you, it takes a lot of sacrifice and commitment, and it's rewarding. It's definitely rewarding, and it's healthy for your walk with God, and it's healthy for you. But I tell you, it just gives you a different look on when you have to do it. I guess on the commitment and the sacrifice that pastor has to make, and I also want to give honor to these other men that have in the ministry that have stepped up, and they're an encouragement to me. And just seeing them and what they do in their walk with God, it encourages me each and every day. Brother Brown's not here, but I want to mention him as well and these other men. But throughout prayer and, everything that was mentioned, it seemed like it was kind of lining up. I don't know, maybe that's just my mind, how it's working, because I got my message on my mind. We were talking about creation a little bit was mingled in there, and a lot of thankfulness, and it kind of pointed me back toward my message is created with a purpose. How many of you know that you're created with purpose? That it's not just, God said, I'll make Brother Thomas over here, but, it's just whatever. I'm just going to create. You're created with a purpose, and God has a purpose and a plan for you in your life, each and every one of us. And so if you asked yourself what you think your purpose is, what would your answer be? I'm going to ask a lot of questions, and answer them in your own head. I don't know if I'll give you an answer. Some of them are not going to be questions that I'm going to give an answer. It's going to be your own individual answer. It's an open-ended question, I guess you could say. But we all want to have a purpose. I think it's just natural. It's part of our nature to want to have a purpose. We want to do something with our lives. We want to make a difference in society, in our loved ones' lives. We want to be successful in our careers as parents to our children. We want to have importance. Why wouldn't you want to have some importance in life? We want to have value, and it's nice sometimes to feel and be needed. Sometimes it's nice not to be needed. I'll just throw that out there. I'm not trying to, whatever, but I got so many people call me sometimes, hey, man, I need you. I need you to come help me. I got to help somebody tomorrow. I won't mention them as family, but... I got to help somebody move a couch tomorrow and some furniture. And I'm like, man, I finally get a day off where I ain't got to do nothing. And it seems like it's always something. Somebody's going to call you and say, you get that one little day off. It's like, oh, I'm looking forward to that. And then all of a sudden, help me move his couch. But it's like somebody waiting. They got your schedule in the back of their pocket, Oh, you got a day off? Not today, But that's how it is sometimes. Or we may have asked ourselves the question, what was I created for? I think we've all asked ourselves that question at one point in time or another. All of these things, they encompass what we call our identity. And our identity is determined simply by what we identify ourselves with. Identity is who you understand yourself to be. While purpose is the meaningful direction or goal you pursue in life. Without defining who you are and standing firm on your identity, it's going to be very difficult and even impossible to achieve any purpose in life. Who do you say that you are? This is another one of them questions. Who do you say that you are when you ask yourself the question, who am I? Who am I? Who does God say that you are in His Word? Do you believe and accept who God says that you are? What do you identify yourself with, and how would you define that? And I want us to search deep. I really want us to search deep. You know, this is something when I studied, I was really trying to search myself. Who are you when people aren't looking? And when no one else is around, people's presence, if you're not careful, it can change who you are. And it can change you quick. And I'm gonna be vulnerable. I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, open with y'all. If I hang around the wrong people, I mean, there's a chance that I'm gonna be tempted, because that old man, he tried to come out every now and then. And if you, I think I've heard pastors say it before, you know, Jesus sat with publicans, He sat with sinners, He sat with drunks, whatever. Whatever you want to label it as. But you ain't Jesus. You know, and you can say, oh, well, I'm just trying to be... I mean, it's true. So who you surround yourself with, whatever environment... Pastors also said this before. See, I learned a little bit about pastors preaching. But anyways, he said this before too. Everything has an environment. The fish, they have the water. The plants, they have the ground. And our environment is God. That's what it needs to be anyways. That's what we're created for. To glorify God, to lift up God. All right. So we want to be liked, we want to be accepted, and it's not always easy to stand out and to be different. And the majority of the world is not going to be, if you want to live for God, like you need to be. You're going to have to stand out, you're going to have to be different, and there's going to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Somebody help me. There's going to be opposing opinions, let's put it that way. There's going to be people that say, well, why do you do this? You know, why do you do the things that the way that you do them? You know, and you don't have to do all that. That's just a little extreme. What, is it a sin, really? You know, where does it say in the Bible? Well, not every sin is just plainly like, there's just like a book in the Bible that says this is sin, this is sin, this is sin, this is sin. Sometimes you got to use your common sense, and you got to have a relationship with God. You talking about, is this a sin? And when's the last time you prayed and read your Bible, man? You know, is it really a sin? But come on now, where are you getting your guidance from? Where are you getting your leadership from? You know, who's in your ear? You know, who are you listening to? What does the Bible say about our purpose and what we were created for? In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, you can turn there. I'm going to be kind of quick. It says that we were created for His glory. Amen. Isaiah 43 and 21, it says, just a little bit, same chapter, a little bit further in verse, says that God formed us for Himself that we may proclaim His praise. He formed us. He created us for Himself. Nothing else. That's why we were created, for Him, to glorify God. We were created for His glory. Psalms 139, 14 and 15 says, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Amen. So we were created for His glory. But I've also heard God is a gentleman. He gives us free will. He's not going to force you to worship. He doesn't want a robot to worship Him. He wants somebody that wants to worship Him. It's just like in a marriage. I wouldn't want to marry somebody that I forced to love me. That's not true love. Amen? I want somebody that chooses to love me, that shows and displays that they love me for who I am, you know? Amen. And that's a lot to put up with. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That blows my mind. That blows my mind. Before you were even formed, before you, probably your parents were even formed, he had you on his mind. I've said it before. There's that old song, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And I've shared that with the church before. It blows my mind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. That means that each and every one of us individually were on his mind when he was hanging on that cross. He was thinking about each and every one. And I can't prove this, but I believe that he was thinking Jonathan Harper. I believe that he was thinking Duran Littleton. Not just to all of humanity, but I just feel I can't prove that. It's kind of like, you know, I can't prove that dogs go to heaven, but I want to believe it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they got lion and lambs up there, you know. So, R.I.P. Cooper. But Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah 29:11, chapter 1. It's just, "For I know the plans I have for you." I think that's the right one. "For I know how the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and future." Romans 8:28. This is one I use this one all the time. But I love it. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to" what?
His purpose.
"His purpose." We were created for a purpose. Colossians 1:16. "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." For him. God created each and every one of us with a purpose. God says he knows the plans that he has for you. God has plans for you. I want that to sink in. God has plans for you. Brother Harper, he's got plans for you. He's got plans for you, Brother Jose. He's got plans for you, Sister Richards. Brother Fall, he's got plans for each and every one of us. One of our biggest issues with this is we want to make our own plans, our own goals, set our own course, navigate our own course, and be in complete control of our future without the discretion of anyone else, including God. I mean, I'm just as guilty. He may not want to admit it because it doesn't sound too good, but we want to do what we want to do and what we think is best. We say we want God to be in control, and we use it. Well, God's in control. God's in control. But we don't make time to pray about the decisions we make in our lives, big or small. We just make them based off of what we want to do. I'm speaking to myself on that one. Instead of letting God lead and guide us into our purpose, we want to choose and pave the road for the purpose that we want. We have to tap into the purpose that God has for us. We get so caught up in life that we don't make time to do this very thing. We have to be purpose-driven because we were created for a purpose. We ask ourselves the question, what do I want in life? What do I want to be? What do I want to achieve? Here comes all these questions. What are my goals? Instead of, what was I created for? What does God want me to be? What is God's purpose and plan in my life? We have to be intentional with our created purpose. And in order to be consistently intentional, we have to be passionate about our purpose. We have to have a made-up mind. We have to be committed and consistent. It takes sacrifice and believing in yourself and your purpose, no matter what the challenges may bring. You have to be intentional or take action in achieving a specific outcome or goal rather than just simply going through the motions or being in autopilot mode. I'll tell you right now, I love autopilot. You just kick back. Them Teslas, they drive you, don't they? I think they do. I've heard stories about the Teslas driving. I don't know if anybody heard that or not, but you can kind of kick. I wouldn't trust that. I'm just saying, you know, but I love autopilot mode. especially as busy as life gets. And that's, it's easy to get into that. Just click that autopilot button, you know, leave the chair for a minute and kick back and take a break somewhere, because you get so caught up in life and the busyness of life that it's just nice to hit that autopilot button. To be intentional is to act with purpose and awareness, making deliberate choices that align with your personal values and goals rather than acting on autopilot. There's the autopilot again. Or letting external factors dictate your actions. It involves conscious thought, focus, and taking purposeful action to create the life you desire and achieve desired outcomes, according to Webster. In order to be intentional, we have to understand the assignment. That's one of the modern little phrases right there, understand the assignment. He understood the assignment. So in order to be intentional, we have to understand the assignment. In order to understand the assignment, we have to have an understanding of the Scripture, of God's Word. The statement, my people suffer due to lack of knowledge, is a quote from the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, referring to the people of Israel who rejected spiritual knowledge and God's commands, leading to their destruction. In this context, knowledge primarily signifies a deep understanding of God's law and a faithful relationship with Him rather than just mere intelligence. It's not how smart they were. The suffering described in this passage results from spiritual unfaithfulness and a failure to live according to God's will, which leads to both spiritual and national ruin, as it did in this passage. One thing I've noticed more and more of here lately is the preemptive attack on Christianity in an attempt to try and silence any voice that would dare to speak the name of Jesus and the truth and redemptive power of salvation through His name. And it's obvious because the enemy knows that there's power in that name. There is power in the name of Jesus. And you can see it all around you. Whenever somebody tries to speak the name of Jesus, it doesn't matter about the other religions. You speak that name of Jesus, there's some conflict there. They try to keep you quiet about the name of Jesus. But I refuse to be quiet. Amen. I'm going to preach the gospel, and I'm going to speak the truth. There is power in speaking things audibly. There's power in your voice. Proverbs 18, chapter 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death. Jesus said to speak to the mountain. He said in Luke 17 and 6 that if you had faith the grain of a mustard seed, that you might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up, removed and tossed into the sea. And it would obey. Isaiah 55 and 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. There you go, Brother Jose. But it shall accomplish that very thing, that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. If God has said it, we can boldly proclaim it. If His word has said it, we can say it. And we can stand on His word. If He's made a promise to you, you can stand on that promise. It's going to come to pass. We may get discouraged. It may not be going the way that we want it to go. This is a simple message right here. We all know this stuff. It feels good sometimes to hear it. But we know this to be true. I was talking to somebody that is dealing with sickness earlier in the week, and I was telling them, and they said, "Man, I'm just tired. I'm weak." And I said, "Well, just hang in there. God's in control." And I thought when I said that, I said, "Man, that sure is easy for me to say, because I'm not going through it. I'm not going through any sickness right now. God forbid." But it's easy for me to say, and in my mind, I'm like, man, I wish I could take it, you know. I don't have that power. And it's so easy like I said, for me to say that, but when you're going through something like that, when you're going through a sickness, when you're going through a trial, when you're dealing with something, when everything's rainbow and butterflies, it's easy to say, God's good. God's in control. And we know that God's good and God's in control even then. But man, the war that it wages on your mind when you're going through that valley, the war that it wages on your mind when you're going through that trial, it's rough. It's rough. I mean, I've been there. I've had to, maybe not as worse as some, but I've dealt with stuff. We all going to deal with stuff. It's going to happen. It's called life. And in those times, we just got to hold on. That's just hold on. Amen. So we have to have a knowledge of the Scripture. Amen. And a prayer life so that God can give us understanding of His Word. And we can move forward with intention and with purpose. We have to be proactive instead of reactive. Amen? And we can achieve this by being prepared. And the first thing I thought of, the first scripture, the story in the Bible that I thought of about being prepared. Who was that?
Noah.
I mean, that's a good one, yeah, but that's not the one I thought of. Now I'm thinking of it. That is a good one, Brother Jose. But no, I thought about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And in Matthew 25, verse 1, it says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go in out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.'" I'd be like, too bad. You should be ready. No, I'm just kidding. "But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say unto you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" So we have to be prepared. Be candid again. Honest. Y'all know me. I'm always going to be that way. Unless it's real bad, and then I might lie about it. I'm just kidding. No. But I have not done the job that I need to do being prepared. And I'm going to get to that later. I'm almost done. Good night. I didn't know I was going to be. But the next thing is you have to have a vision. Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Another translation says that where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. "But blessed is he who heeds wisdom and wisdom's instruction. Without divine guidance or a clear purpose, society descends into lawlessness. But to those who follow God's instruction, they will be blessed." There has to be a clear vision and purpose. This sounds to me like the world we're living in today. There is no vision. In that translation, that there's a reason I went to that translation right there. It says that where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. People don't have any morals. They don't have no restraint. It's just do whatever you want to do. Live the way you want to live. There's no consequence. Just do what you want to do. We're all accepting of everything. And if you don't accept the way we want to live our lives, then, you know, we're going to shun you and we're going to say bad things about you, but you got to accept the way we live. And to me, it's just a perfect picture of the world that we live in right now. There is no restraint. And it's crazy. It's crazy because when you try to live right, people call you a loony.
Yeah.
And then you ain't doing nothing wrong. You ain't bothering nobody.
Yeah.
You're just trying to be normal. And then they try to get you to participate in what is really loony.
Yeah.
And they call that normal. Which I guess the Bible talks about that too, doesn't it, Brother Harper? I don't know how it says it. I believe it says that in the last days, good evil and evil good. So we have to have a clear vision and purpose. It can't be clouded with the cares of this life. Matthew chapter 13, 3 through 8 says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and he sowed. Some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had not root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. This parable is describing our heart in response to our commitment to God. The seed, it represents the word. The different souls represent our heart in response. And only the good soul will bring forth good fruit. The biggest challenge we face is the conflict between moving forward in what God has purposed and planned for us in our lives and the everyday cares of this life. I've mentioned that a couple of times already. The everyday cares of this life, we get so wrapped up in the busyness of life, work, kids, whatever it may be. And I use this excuse a lot. I just ain't got time. And then usually, I think I told you this before service, Sister Richards. I said, I'm tired, but I probably ain't going to sleep when I get home.
Yeah.
Because I want to entertain myself. I want to put my favorite little TV show on. And then I go home and I watch TV for 2 hours and get on Facebook for another hour and a half. So that's 3.5 hours right there. And then I want to wake up and say, well, I ain't got time, man. I just ain't got time to pray like I need to.
Yeah.
I'm so busy. I couldn't give God 15, 30 minutes. And so, shame on me for that. For shame. So Luke chapter 21 says, 21 and 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. Mark 4 and 19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. Matthew chapter 13, 18 through 23, and hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Lack of knowledge. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. No vision. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The cares of this world. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That's knowledge, that's a vision, that's intention, and that's purpose. Don't minimize or let anyone minimize your purpose. When God puts you in a position or he promotes you, when he's guiding you in purpose and direction, don't let anyone minimize where you are or your walk with God, mainly yourself. Don't minimize your position. If all you're doing is cutting the grass, do it for the glory of God.
Amen.
If all you're doing is cleaning the church, do it for the glory of God. Amen. Teaching Sunday school, do it for the glory of God. As Pastor said, that the older gentleman, the greeter at Tallahassee, Florida, that just passed out mints, do it for the glory of God.
Amen.
That's something he still preaches about today. That's something that impacted him.
Yeah.
All that you do, do all for the glory of God. Amen. You're going to face obstacles and adversity, so we have to be steadfast. I was gonna. I was trying to think of a story where people, persevered, remained steadfast, but none of them are really biblical stories. I mean, you still use them. I mean, it's a good thing to share those stories. Michael Jordan was the first one that popped in my mind. Some of you may know his story. He got cut as a junior. He was trying to try out for the varsity team. He got cut because they said he was too small. That's exactly why they cut him. They said he was too small and they wanted somebody taller. But he didn't let it make him quit. And he came back. He trained. He came back bigger. He hit a growth spurt, stronger. And I don't know, some of y'all may think LeBron is, but I think Jordan's a goat. So he became the greatest of all time. If he would have quit, if he would have gave up, became discouraged, he never would have been. So I was going to use Colonel Sanders too. I don't know if y'all know his story, but that's a little bit more depressing. Yeah. Got good chicken though. So you can and will achieve your purpose. Your purpose is directly related to your desires. Man, my voice is dry. Let me get some water. Why does it get so dry up here? Is it because I'm talking so much? I guess I'm not used to talking this much. I feel like my tongue's like the size of my pinky nail. Good gosh. Psalms 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, we have our desires that I spoke of earlier. But I believe if you get linked in with a church, we got a good church. We got a good church, y'all. And you get linked in with a church, the desires that you used to have, you look back at them and you say, what was I thinking? That was dumb. Why did I even desire some of that stuff? Living for God is the best decision that you can make. And a lot of people can't see it because they're blinded. Not being judgmental. I was there. But it's the best decision that you can make. In closing, I looked up a story about perseverance, not Michael Jordan or Colonel Sanders, but a story about perseverance, and it was related to marriage and persevering through marriage. And it says that a reporter was doing a human interest story for a local newspaper and was interviewing an elderly couple celebrating 60 years of marriage. It's a long time. 60 years. The obvious question the reporter posed was, what's the secret to a long marriage? Oh, the man started. It's all about perseverance. On our honeymoon, we went to the Grand Canyon and rode on mules down the trail. Well, my wife's mule bucked her off and she fell on the ground. She just yelled, "That's one," and got right back up and on the mule. A couple of minutes, the mule did it again, and she yelled, "That's two," and got right back on the mule. When the mule did it a third time, she yelled, "That's three," and she took out a gun and shot the mule dead. The reporter was shocked at this story and asked, "How does that relate to a long marriage?" And the man replied, "Well, I told her that was no way to treat a mule." And she looked at me and said, "That's one." I thought I'd end on a good one like that. You know, give y'all a laugh. It's good to laugh. Amen. But I'm thankful for the opportunity to be up here. Brother Harper, Brother Jose, if you would close. Amen.
Amen, Brother Desmond. That was a good word, refreshing word, amen. You know, when you said a couple of things you said reminded me of the verse in 1 Corinthians 10:31 where it says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." I tend to live by that one. I think it's important that we wake up grateful, and everything that we do, we give it our best unto the glory of God. In the book of Acts also, it tells us, chapter 4, verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled. But then they realized that they had been with Jesus." So if we hang around with Jesus long enough, yeah, that's right. Our purpose, right, and our wisdom will grow, and the fear of the Lord will grow as well. All right, any no announcements, but church on Sunday, and any offerings, you can leave them in the back over there, and we'll pick them up. Thank you guys for being in service. Let's close out in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come here, hear your word, Lord God. We pray that we may be doers of that word, Lord God, that your word may go forth and accomplish that very thing, Lord. For you have said, Lord, that if we do these things in obedience, O God, that we may be the head and not the tail, O God, that we may be set above and not beneath, Lord. We pray that in all things we glorify you, Lord God, and we give you the praise and honor, Lord. For we know that the name of Jesus Christ is the one that we must praise, the one that we must call upon, the one that we must adhere to, Lord God. Let us be that light in this darkness, Lord God, that we share with everyone that we come across, Lord. And in your name, Lord God, we give you the praise and the honor, and always, in Jesus' name, amen.